Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We've got a couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. So far, lots of productive conversation. Like I said, I always think more ideas are better than fewer. I think that especially, and people have asked me before about, you know, letting, for instance, the example that I used yesterday was, why do you even let people who say that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz on the air? Like, why do you even let them discuss that stuff? And the reason why is because I think that that's a bad take. I think that that's a bad idea. I think my take, that Carson Wentz is a superior quarterback, is a good take. And I have ways to defend it. I have statistical evidence. I have, you know, all of the things that you need to have a productive discussion. And then for those out there who might be on the fence, I think that my argument stands for itself. I'm not afraid of any argument. I'm not afraid of any information. Plus, I'm also open to changing my mind if I hear something particularly compelling. Right? So, like, that's why voices are welcome, as far as I'm concerned. 610-632-0975. A couple of open phone lines opened up during the break. We've got an extended segment here. Let's go to Pat in Bluebell next on The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey.
How are you?
Good. You know, I have an observation and a solution. Grew up in North Philly, mixed parent. Mom was white, dad was black, and, you know, right near Temple, right Broad Montgomery. Well, it's now Broad and Cecil B. Moore. And lost my dad when I was 13, but one thing I noticed is, well, about 90% of my friends are gone, and because of, you know, drugs and crime. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful.
Well, it was a rough neighborhood, you know, I thought to myself, even as a young kid, I thought, geez, you know, because I would get in trouble when I come home late or got in trouble at school. These kids, they didn't get in trouble. They didn't do what they want. I mean, they're out the next day. They made fun of me. It was rough. And I thought, boy, man, I was so jealous. All my buddies, you know, they can get away with it if they want. You know, and it occurred to me, you know, one thing that my dad said, he goes, you know, when I fought in World War II, we were segregated. The whites and the black soldiers, they were separated in the barracks. I thought, boy, that's ridiculous. And, you know, my goal was to get through Temple, and I did, you know, with some loans and grants. And one thing I have to say, it pains me to see what I'm seeing, and I have to say it certainly, my observation is it certain people's behavior is causing a lot of the problems. Don't, as Charles Barkley said, don't break the law, and if you get arrested, don't resist arrest. But now, on the flip side, and that's bad. You know, on the flip side, I'm thinking, you know, what do you do? What my observation was also with this police officer who had his knee on his neck,
mm-hmm.
it looked like he was waiting to order lunch. It, like, no emotion. That guy wasn't all there. There's something wrong with that guy. I think these officers need, what do you call it, a testing, like stress test every year or two, because they're going through a lot regardless of where they are, and they need to be checked out.
Well, I think that's true, especially if it's not already happening, Pat. But what happened, what we watched, I mean, that is definitely an act of evil. We can agree on that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He was, like I said, it looked like he was ready to order lunch. I mean, if you and I were doing that, wouldn't you have something like an expression on your face? He was looking like, okay, what time's the paper arrive?
I'm not going to lie to you, Pat. It's hard for me to picture myself in that situation.
No, but think about, but wouldn't you at least have an expression? The guy was like, okay, what am I, you know, having for dinner tonight or whatever. I mean, the guy was clearly not there. I think they need that. They need arrest training. And I keep hearing, I got to say this one thing, because I grew up in the city. They say, go vote. But my observation is that all these places where all these rioting and all these killings are going are run by Democrats. And so what do you do? Vote for a different Democrat? I mean, they're the ones in control in Philadelphia, Baltimore, L.A. I mean,
Well, Pat, I don't know if you... I don't even know if it's necessarily, and thanks for the phone call, a political party issue. What I talked about yesterday is that from what I have seen, and I haven't seen people present contrary evidence, that there's been a leadership void, by and large, across the board. The person that I think is doing the best job in recent days was the Atlanta mayor who made that statement about rioting and looting and stuff like that, Keisha Lance Bottoms, who literally has been a unifying force in Atlanta. There's been a leadership void. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if you can even restrict it to one political party. There's been a stunning lack of leadership at a time when we are turning to our leaders the most. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, I can only assume, I'm sure that we'll hear from people who are better informed on this than I am, but I am assuming that police officers do have access to therapy, to psychological testing, you know, that sort of thing. I'm positive. I'm very confident that those things exist. I don't know how extensively those resources are utilized. I don't know what the testing is, like what the baselines are for receiving admission to the service. Those are things that I am a complete novice about and that I am endeavoring to learn more about. But anything that makes you more equipped to A, do your job, and B, handle the rigors of your job and what your job is, I am open to those suggestions, while also keeping the eye on the ball, which to me is that a man, regardless of his profession, but especially because he was a police officer whose duty is to protect and serve, failed in the most profound way that you could possibly fail. It's a criminal act. I don't forget about that. Rich on the cell is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good evening, Joe. How you
doing
tonight?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I listen to the show all the time, and I would say nobody wants to have this kind of conversation, but I think it's important to talk about everything.
Agreed.
Regarding misconduct of police officers, elected officials not taking a stand, attorney generals not prosecuting anyone, let alone an officer, when they commit a crime and prosecuting them to the fullest extent that their office will permit them to. And I think that's where it starts. I think that when you have, and I'm not singling out any one city or state or any one law office, but when you have officers who blatantly commit a crime, and knowing that they have the protection of the unions, and unions serve a purpose for sure, and they need to make sure that their members are treated fairly. But it's very hard to justify many of the things that we see. I mean, and specifically against African American men. I'll tell you that I'm not an African American male, and I have family members who are, and they just live a different lifestyle than me. So I understand that. I know on my worst day that I will never wake up having to worry about the things that they have to worry about, both for themselves and their sons. And I show support whatever way I can. That being said, I'm not for rioting. I'm not for looting. I'm not for taking advantage of what's going on in the street in front of you to grab a pair of sneakers or to raid a mobile phone shop or anything like that. And that said, and those are all things that any human being should say.
That's like, kind of what I'm going after, special. Rich. That's what I'm looking.
Right.
I'm looking
any
for the baseline. Yes.
However, when we hear Melissa call a couple minutes ago, I think it was terribly irresponsible, regardless of what has happened over the past week. I think it's incredibly irresponsible for yourself, from a production standpoint and as a station, to let her talk without dumping her when she starts saying the reason that the news and society would never show white men being killed by officers with the kind of frequency that you see African American males is because white men would be perched on top of rooftops sniping cops from two blocks away when they stuck their head out of their cars. I think that's a statement that would never be permitted any other week. And I don't feel like it was justified in letting her say that. And I don't know if she was white. I don't know if she was African American. I have no idea. But in allowing that, I just think the station as a whole.
Well, do you think that we condone that?
Allowing that to go on.
Do you think that we condone that?
I think you let it on the air.
So are we about suppressing ideas, or are we about sharing? Because I don't agree. I don't agree with what Melissa said.
Hold on, but wait, we're not about oppressing or suppressing anything. However, if my and hold on, and I'm certainly not saying this would be the case. However, if anyone were to make a similar statement about a different race, that person at the time, meaning either by the host, or they would either be shut down immediately and told that that kind of rhetoric would not be permitted on the air, and those kind of ideas not only wouldn't be supported, but wouldn't even be given the ability to reach the airwaves. I think that there would be I think it'd be an immediate dump. And
all
you
right,
even
well,
have
Rich, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the feedback. Here's what I'll say. I'll say that I don't agree with that sentiment. However, I think that people do talk all the time about how different groups would react to things like that. What's the most common thing that we hear now is, oh, where's all of the outrage when someone shoots up a school? Or where's, like, we've heard that stuff before. We're speaking a different language if you think that that is something that would be acceptable to us at the station, to us as humans, to any of us. She feels the way that she feels, so be it. Does not mean that we agree. And if we advertise and discuss that things are going to be an open forum, then they have to be. If it's First Amendment speech that's not a call to violence or a threat to someone's life. It's an open forum. We've had discussions all day, and there have been conversations on every side that you could imagine where someone says something that would drive someone into a blind rage, that would infuriate someone. Doesn't mean that it's condoned. It means that it's a raw time for everyone, and it's a conversation that that people have different views and different approaches to. Phil in Abington's next on The Fanatic. Hey, Phil. Phil, are you with us?
Yeah.
What's going on, Phil? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
All right. So I just wanted to share my perspective here. As a background, I am a criminal defense attorney here in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and have witnessed various aspects of the spectrum here. I will say, just from one aspect, of a message to preach to everyone here is the message of perspective. That is what we are here to analyze, is we are all looking at everyone's actions, and everyone is making judgment calls. And it is very important to remember that unity and making sure that we are promoting the right message is so crucial right now, because there are people who are reflecting upon their actions since they've been raised as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are uneasy with the way that they've been acting as an adult or a young teen or as an older adult who's raised children. We all have flaws as human beings, but at the end of the day, there are fringe individuals who are now trying to make changes with themselves so they can help change the community. But when we riot and we loot and we are doing these heinous acts that make no sense, you are now giving these individuals justification to go back to their old behaviors and their own stereotypes that they've created in their head, which are unacceptable.
Right.
That's the issue that comes from that. And that's where I'm just going to leave that particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I would like to say is that I am very proud of the way everyone is listening. We are listening. And I understand that some callers get upset when individuals like Melissa get through, but you as a station are providing an open forum to promote conversation. And if Melissa has that stance, she has that stance. But what we now know as the audience is that she has identified herself as someone who has that belief. We now know that. And as a community, we can work to better ourselves to not end up like that and promote those ideals. That's what everyone needs to understand. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to have someone say, you know what, I don't agree. But it is not ever a justification to profile someone or take someone's life.
Agreed.
Being black, Asian, white, pink, purple, any color of the rainbow is not a crime in the United States of America. I joined the legal profession to protect your individual rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution of both the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the United States of America. I have taken countless officers to task on the stand. I have told my clients, I am sorry, I cannot exact my pound of flesh for you, but I can make them uncomfortable, and I can hopefully drill it into their head through questioning under oath on the stand that what you're doing is wrong and you should make the change, and it starts now. Everyone needs to hold themselves accountable. That's the message that we all need here. We need to do it together.
Phil, well said, and thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. And that is why, by the way, before yesterday's show, I was very silent on pretty much everything that has been going on. And it's not in the least because I don't care, because I'm not affected, because I don't have a heart. I think that what I've kind of put out for you yesterday and today illustrates where I am and my feelings on this and the way that things are the way that things are hitting me. But what I did not want to do and what I will never do is immediately quick twitch, react, lash out of hurt, out of emotion, without having the whole story, without there being a possibility that there's more information out there. And as more information has emerged, I think that my picture of where we are, where we can go, and what has happened so far has gotten more clear. And I think that that is a lesson that I have learned, is that listening rather than talking is very rarely a bad idea. Very rarely a bad idea. And as Phil says, if there are people out there that have views that you would consider objectively to be despicable, awful, negative views, well, then you know who they are. They tell on themselves. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Rob in Bucks County next on The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, a couple things real quick. One, I agree with the freedom of speech. That's, you know, it's our right. You know, we have a right to choose what we want to say. Whether I agree with it, you agree with it, it's a different story. You know, as long as nobody condones, you know, I don't know, certain language, certain slurs, all that kind of, you know, biases.
Right. We have the FCC to account to, of course, too. But then other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm a really big First Amendment guy. Really, really.
Exactly. And I have friends who protested. I've also been on the law enforcement side of it. And I'll tell you, you know, yes, they have tests for it. But you know what happens? The minute you say you feel weak, they want to try to find a way to get you out of the job.
Mm.
They want to sit there and take away your right to carry a weapon, and you're in law enforcement. And if somebody accosts you, now you have nothing there, because they feel, well, because you can't handle this job, you can't handle your weapon either. So, you know, you're almost at the mercy. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but there was a time, you know, it's like there is that code of blue. You know, I've stood up for people's rights and stuff like that, and, it, you know, that I'm not there anymore. You mm-hmm. know, but it happens, and it's wrong. But you know what? You also earn respect that way, because I'm a white guy, and I've treated everybody the same. And I've taught my kids to treat everybody the same. Because if you don't change, you know, the world's come a long way, but it's not coming along enough.
Sure, I agree. I think we should always be working. And what you're doing, Rob, raising your kids that way, I would argue that's the most effective method of change that you can do long term. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
And the rioting, I don't agree with it. I shouldn't have to worry about my, you know, my mother, my brother, who is, you know, like, bedridden. shouldn't have to worry that they're okay. You know, I shouldn't have to worry about my girlfriend. You know, she's okay, or my kids either. It's like you want to sit there and protest. I get it. I'm looking at a gentleman right this second with a sign up here. But you know what? It's like, do it peacefully.
Yes.
Don't sit there and, but like you said, T-Mobile, you know, what do they have to do with it? You know, your iPhone is not helping, the, you know, Floyd.
No. And not only that. It's not only not helping, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. The language that I have used, and I'm not apologetic for it, is that you are standing on his grave. You are standing on George Floyd's grave in order to get yourself something, which is full-on despicable. Is it worse than taking someone's life? Of course it's not worse than taking someone's life. Beating someone up is not worse than taking someone's life. That's also happening. I just don't think that we have to rank these when we're talking about what is right and wrong. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. I've appreciated the conversation so far. Really, it has been everything that I thought it would be based on how we left things yesterday and how the conversations have gone over the course of the show today. So let's continue that, and we're going to get more of your phone calls here on the other side. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. Emotions are pretty high by the sound of things here in the city and obviously in the country. Difficult conversations, but I appreciate you guys continuing to be earnest and candid with how you feel about things, what you like, what you don't like, and the way that you react to things. Let's go to Kieran Ambler next on The Fanatic. What's up, Kieran?
Good evening, Mr. Torti.
How are you?
First off, I want to thank you and everybody at The Fanatic for everything that they do that is thankworthy. You guys do a great job, and I find myself being entertained by you most of the day.
Thank you. Not easy during these times, but I appreciate that, Kim.
I would understand that, or that's understandable. Anyway, I just wanted to make a quick point. You mentioned about there seems to be no leadership in a time when we're so desperately looking for leaders. And I wanted to point out that this country is supposed to be a democracy. Whether it is or isn't actually can be debated. I have no interest in doing so, but that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it was meant to be. And in a democracy, the politicians are not supposed to be our leaders. They're supposed to be our employees. The people are supposed to be the leaders. Mm. And so I think if we're looking for leadership, we're better off looking to our neighbors than we are whatever elected politicians are in office, and really work to make sure that there are leaders within our own community amongst us that are keeping on top of who are the best candidates that we can be voting into office to do the work that we delegate to them, the jobs that we assign them to take care of and keep mm-hmm. on top of, because they are supposed to be our employees working for us, doing what we want, what we as a majority decide is best for us as a country, not us looking to them for all of the answers and to solve all of our problems. So on, you know, today, which is election day and not much time left to today, but there's an important one coming up in November. So I'm hoping people will keep that in mind and realize that we are supposed to be the ones in power. They're supposed to be our employees doing what we truly want. And so we should be trying to vote people into office that we trust to do what we're asking them to do, not waiting for them to tell us what to do and solve all our problems for us.
Sure. And Keir, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Personal responsibility and accountability in communities and in families, I don't think that it's ever been more important. And the interfacing between community leaders, family leaders, neighborhood leaders, and people who are running cities and people who are overseeing police departments and city councils and stuff like that, I would argue that that is an area where significant improvement could be expected. Significant improvement could be expected. And that is something that I would think that would merit results. Like I said, it's going to be an incremental improvement. It's going to be something that is not going to happen overnight. But exploring how we can be better and how we would be able to continue to move down the path toward perfection, even if it never ends up being achieved. Leadership and becoming leaders ourselves, fantastic way to approach that. Let's go to Mike in Philly next on The Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Joe.
Mike, how are you?
Oh, it's a tough times, man. I've never called and talked to you before, but I thank you for at least talking about it.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
I got online and didn't hear exactly what the lady, Melissa, had to say. But sometimes you need to go to a second level. Why would someone say something like that? Let me give you an example. When we watch on TV, the militia go into a state building, take over state building with rifles, and they don't get shot. They don't get accosted. That would make a person like some people, let me put it that way, think that there's a lot of patience going on with that.
Well, so what do you mean take over a state building?
Well, I believe it was out west where they were protesting with rifles.
In Michigan.
Yes, that's out west.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So there's a lot of patience that went with that standoff, correct?
Well, yeah, but there were no crimes committed.
That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm talking about patience. Now, we're talking about the internet. You can go on the internet a lot of times and see, well, quote unquote, white people are accosting policemen, fighting them, where that's a crime. But they don't get killed.
Oh, they're twice as likely to be killed by police officers. White people are.
Do they fight the police?
Generally, across the board, white people are twice as likely to be killed by police officers than people of color.
What I'm saying is, just take a perspective of what we see.
Okay.
This is what we see. Now, we have a lot of videos of black people getting killed without guns. Black people running away, getting shot in the back. We see that. We don't see a lot of white people getting shot in the back running away.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't. What we see is a lot of times on the internet is white people with guns. Sometimes I saw one recently, a white guy with a gun walking around. The police offered a whole lot of restraint to this guy. I've seen a guy named Jerry on the internet fighting two police officers. One was a female police officer, taking them both out and stealing the car. This is what we see.
Okay, so the point. So what's the connection at the end here? If that's what's being seen, then what?
What I'm saying is about the guy was trying to say that he didn't appreciate what she was saying. She's only saying what she might see, and also, the key word is patience. What we see is a lot of patience with a lot of white criminals as well, versus people of color.
Well, I mean, I would be curious, Mike, and thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate the perspective as well. I'd be curious to see the stats that would be able to quantify that. Only because, like I said, statistically speaking, twice as likely to be killed by police officers as black people are. Now, there are a lot more white people in the United States. So maybe that's how you account for the difference. I don't know. My point is that I don't agree that is how we'd respond as a society, regardless of what race we like. I don't think that would be happening. If Melissa's saying that because she feels that way and it's her experience, fine. But then we see the world through very, very different lenses. And, you know, that common ground that we were talking about, that common thread, answering evil for evil is how I started the show, is something that I would never be able to understand. And that's something that I would never, ever be able to condone or do. It makes me sad that someone feels that way, that that's where they are. And I hope that that isn't the case forever. I hope that there's some healing and some ability for that to be altered and changed. Because it's a path that I can't follow. Omar in East Oak Lane is next on The Fanatic. Omar.
Oh, hey, how you doing, man?
Okay, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yeah, I was calling in to, first I keep hearing everybody talk about voting will never change anything because the politicians are bought and paid for. So that's first and foremost. And the second thing I want to point out, what that lady Melissa said, I agree with everything she said because you never see anything like that on the news, and they would never show you stuff like that on the news. And that's done strategically. That's done for a reason.
Well, so I agree that they make a decision to show you what they show you on the news, but I feel like that's an extreme reason why that would be the case. I feel like that'd be a very extreme reason why they wouldn't be showing that. That's what I mean. Like, if she feels that way, then okay. But it's like I said, it's something that I can't follow. That's a path that I can't go down.
And the last point I want to make is about the rioting and the looters. Like, I support the rioting and the looters.
Why?
I have no problem with it. Because you got to do whatever is necessary to get changed. So anything that's necessary to get changed, I'm all for it.
So the looter in L.A., who talked to Fox 11, and they asked him about George Floyd and what was going on, and he said how that was not even a factor at all. He was trying to get New Balance shoes. Like, that's enacting change?
Sorry for interrupting you. You can't break it down to George Floyd. It's not about this George Floyd. It's more than that. It's deeper than that.
It's about stealing stuff and breaking stuff.
It's about 1,000 people who has been killed. And nothing has changed. And I believe in America, nothing ever will change.
I'm sorry to hear that, man, but that's what the peaceful protesters are going for. Thanks for the phone call. That makes me sad that you're hopeless for that. But looting and rioting has nothing to do with it. Zero. Nothing to do with it. And if you can't get to, and it's okay, it's your perspective, you can do whatever you want, but we're not going to have a whole lot in common if you're supporting looting and rioting, when people's livelihoods and businesses are getting wrecked, when you're seeing people being beaten up, store owners being beaten up for the crime of standing outside of their stores and making sure that their stores are not going to be broken into, getting beaten up by a mob, we're just not going to find a whole lot of common ground there if that's not something that you're going to categorically condemn. But I do hope that things do change. I hope that your perspective is softened when things shake out or if things get better. Let's go to Mike in Philly next on The Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I can't believe what I'm hearing in America. Like, how can you the violence and the breaking and the looting? I mean, why don't people use their brains to defeat this instead of breaking, you know, entering, looting, stealing? I don't believe that they don't realize that's wrong.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I think that there are tenets that we should all be able to agree on. Like, one, what happened to George Floyd was a tragedy, and that officer needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Also, everyone who's protesting peacefully and demonstrating their support for either George Floyd's family or against the police officer involved or the police department involved, they're all within their rights. And also, rioting and looting and breaking stuff and hurting people is also wrong. I'm very surprised we're getting any kind of pushback on that.
So wrong. I mean, that goes to basic statements of life, so they should realize that and be smart. Also, I can't believe the other caller about voting. You vote who gets in there. Basically, if somebody wins, they basically win by the most votes. Pretty much.
Yeah, well, especially at the local levels, yeah. Right? Like, especially when you're talking about who the mayor is, who the city council is. Like, I get if you're frustrated with the way that the federal government works because of the electoral college. Like, I understand that. But my problem is that the government that governs closest to you is the government that you have the most impact on.
Right.
I don't get it.
Now, also, I mean, if the gentleman was white, would this happen, all this stuff? I mean, I'm not prejudiced, and I'm not saying this is terrible. What happened is wrong. But if it was a white person that died, would this riot stuff be going on, do you believe? Or maybe you don't want to comment?
Well, it's not that I don't want to comment. It's just that there's no way of knowing. Mike, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I've said this in the past, that I don't necessarily see it as purely a black versus white issue. Because, like I said, on those tenants, I think that we agree. I think that it's a police issue for some specific police officers where we're creating, we're having this conversation. So I don't know. I'm truthfully not sure about whether that would happen or not. Especially considering the fact that it seems that rioting and looting, as I've said, has nothing to do with the actual cause. I think that it's people demonstrating and people protesting, and a lot of people who are also annoyed and antsy that they've been cooped up in their houses. The weather's getting nicer. People are outside. There's something to get upset about, so you just go out and do it. I think that there's a percentage where that's the case, too. And that's taking away from the message, which is this tragedy needs to be answered for and averted in the future if possible. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 7 o'clock hours brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Let's go back to the phones with Rick on the cell on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
I'm okay. How are you?
Sad and depressed, man.
It's tough times. It really is.
I'm a white male, but I'm still very saddened by everything that's, taking place on, the whole thing. Actually, it's three kind of points that kind of tie in together, but they can be completely different, too.
Okay.
First, did you see the Hennepin County Coroner's Office initially rule that they couldn't determine the cause of death of George Floyd?
There were pre-existing conditions, there were substances in his system, and also the officer being on top of him. Yes, I did see this.
Right. So, like, to me, even though all that stuff may be true, it's almost like somebody got to them, because it's like the Floyd family didn't, got their own, coroner to do it, and it was basically like the cause of death was asphyxiation by, not getting oxygen to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like already this poor man just dies and we already have that's what one of the issues is. It's like we watched it on video. Like, who cares what was in his system?
Mm.
Like, it doesn't matter.
They also came out and ruled it a homicide. Like, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner updated the report
it was
a homicide.
They did update it.
Yes.
They did. But they initially, it just creeps me out that they initially did that. But,
understood. Yep.
Obviously, the rioting and the violence and the looting and all that stuff makes no sense. The problem I have is I've talked about, 35, 40 people. I'm not counting social media because I'm going crazy on social media, but we're talking about in person, and no one can separate protesting from rioting and looting and violence. And the dilemma with that is, and I want to know your opinion, because I don't know if you heard any of Tyrone's show the last couple days.
Yes.
But what I feel that African-Americans do not feel that they have another option, because the peaceful protests fall on deaf ears all the time. Now, I don't think that the peaceful protesters are the ones necessarily doing all of the looting and all of the violence, you know, that's out there. But what other option is there when you see your own people getting gassed and all these other things, the peaceful ones that are getting that, like today, yesterday in Washington, D.C.?
Well, so what I would say is that it doesn't have anything to do with the cause. Like it is not making an impact positively on the cause at all. So when I heard Tyrone's show, and the answer was, all right, well, if not that, what else do you do? If you know that something is not helping and you know that something is not assisting, instead it's muddying the message, it's diverting the message away from, by the way, what the peaceful protesters are doing, then there's no reason to continue that. Just because we don't have a solid proven solution yet doesn't mean that
I agree.
That is what should be happening.
Right.
Is that fair?
I agree. I agree. But I think one of the things should be noted specifically, and we're never going to hear this on the news, but at least amongst people like us talking, is peaceful protesting is not the same thing as what's going on.
Not
and it's hard for people to separate it because it's happening at the same time. Real quick, my other point, Joe, is I really think this all stems from education. And if you, like, I talk to people all the time, and, you know, we talk about the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and all these other things in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an issue with, like, I understand religion. Everybody can read a Bible or the Quran or any other book, and they can interpret from that their beliefs and all that kind of stuff. And I'm okay with that. But to me, a document like the Constitution, where some people want to go First Amendment, Second Amendment, oh my God, and they don't read the first line. Like, in other words, I know what we the people meant in 1776, okay? I think we all do. But it's different today. Just like the Second Amendment and the First Amendment are different today than what they were meant for then. So why my biggest thing with education is, and this is throughout the whole country, this isn't just the South or just it's everywhere, is that if you're going to teach the Constitution and the first line of the most important document in our country is we the people, that's got to be the message that gets put across. Not what the First Amendment is. Although we love the First Amendment, many people love the Second Amendment. It has to be we. There was a reason why they started it we the people and didn't just say, you know, us or me or I. It's we. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where it needs to start, knowing that every single person in this country is the same.
Well, and yeah, Rick, the thing is, and thanks for the phone call and your perspectives, man. I think that as we started the show, and as the most of this conversation has shown, I think that we, the people, most of us are solidly on the same team. That's what's actually been encouraging to me about all of this, as opposed to, like, if there's any kind of silver lining, that's kind of what it is that it has not been nearly as divisive an issue as some people feared it could be. I think that everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to address what has happened as evil and what has been happening as evil, as something that needs to change. So that's actually something to me where I don't feel like it's been the worst thing to reveal that we're on that same side. Ben and McCungie is next on The Fanatic. What's up, Ben?
Hello.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm just listening, and I have to just, you know, hold on, let me stop this. All right. I'm just hearing so many views, and just people that understand who's listening. White people, we need your help. Y'all, you know, living in that little white cocoon that everybody's been living in, where y'all don't understand what we go through. I heard, the host say, you know, you don't understand it, and you're sorry that you don't know what it's like to feel like your life, like, your heart stopped when lights come behind you. We've been going through that for so many years. I was a teenager in the last riots in 92, watching Reginald Denny get pulled out of that truck. Back then, I was young, and I was still so hurt. I laughed at that. I realized later on it was wrong. He forgave those people. But how long we tore up L.A. just because those cops got let off? Mm-hmm. That was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. I want to talk, but we can't curse. Can't curse on the air. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with 3 locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Conversation's been good so far. Apparently, there's a documentary on HBO called Ernie and Joe, which is part of the San Antonio Police Department's 10-person mental health unit, Ernie Stevens and Joe Smarrow, putting compassionate policing policies into action. Ernie and Joe chronicles their daily encounters with people in crisis, showing how their innovative approach to policing, which takes mental health into account, is having a dramatic effect on the way police respond to these challenges. John Equi tweeted and was listening to your show on my way home regarding better police standards. The county should, I'm assuming he means country, but I don't know, should follow the lead of these men, an amazing watch and two amazing police officers. So that's what I mean. Like, I believe that there are solutions out there. I do think that there are, I believe in my heart of hearts, based on what I've heard and what I've seen, that everyone wants to help. Everyone recognizes that it is an issue. And even if you have not walked that walk of life, even if you've never been black in America, even if you've never been a minority in America, logic and reason can still apply. We can still empathize. We can still try to put ourselves in your shoes and act as though, you know, we want to help. I think that is what we've seen so far, is that regardless of whether you've personally experienced this or not, we as an American people know what's right and wrong. And we call it out when we see it. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.